from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You are in the loop. We're starting now.
We're starting now, baby.
He is the OG John Lopez. I'm Patrick Creighton. And Figgy Fig, the doctor of Figonomics, on the other side of the glass.
All right, we're back to this.
We're still doing that.
Sean, hold on for a second. I do this on purpose. Like, the first time I did it on Monday, they had like they had no idea what that reference.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of did.
John kind of figured it out with John Cena.
Yeah.
But Fig was like, yeah, I no idea. So since he didn't know what it was, I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's what you do.
I'm just going to keep doing it.
I don't think that's going to hit.
It isn't going to stick. All right, that's cool, though.
Where do we come up with other? I'll keep coming up with other ones and see how many more of them can I come up with that are awkward and cause him to be like, I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, many more Figgy hate.
And it's not done of hate. I love Fig.
Who doesn't?
But you know
who
what?
Saying Figgy hates them, though, the nicknames.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know you love. We all love Figgy.
I mean, now, look, granted, I kind of grew up different, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in Brooklyn, you never called your friends by their name.
No.
You called them, you know, a-hole, S-head, D-bag.
Yeah.
Like, if you called your friend by their actual name, they knew that you were mad at them. Like, okay, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it was. When I moved down here, people are nice down here. They don't act like that. And when you walk up to somebody, you know, and you're like, hey, what's up, A-hat? And they're like, why am I an A-hat?
Yeah.
Like, what did I do? Like, why are you mad at me?
Let me introduce you to my people, the Hispanics, who have the greatest philosophy and approach on nicknames in the history of nicknames. They find the most embarrassing physical trait about you. And they call that, with love, your nickname. Like, I had cousins whose nickname was Gordo. Like, in other words, like, if I called, he's not, but if I called Sean, hey, fatso, hey, fatty. And I had another cousin. Hispanics are awesome at this. Like, they somehow find a physical trait that, like, a big nose, they start calling you, you know, something about that. I had a cousin who had like a birth defect and her arm was kind of twisted, and my aunt called her Chueca, in other words, crooked. Hey, crooked. Like Hispanic people are unrelenting.
So there is a Mod Pizza not far from here that I used to go to fairly often, and there was this, you know, very nice, sweet Hispanic woman who worked behind the counter, didn't speak a whole lot of English. Mm-hmm. Every time she saw me, she'd smile and she'd look at me and she'd want to come and help me, and she'd always ask for my name, and I'd always say Patrick, and she would write Pacho.
Yeah.
P-A-C-H-O. And I'm like, what the hell is Pacho?
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked it up. It means chubby.
Yeah.
She was telling me I'm a fat ass.
Yeah. Mod Pizza.
Hispanic people are brutal with
so
nicknames.
The question is, what was your nickname then?
I was little, they called me Gordito. Little chubby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You rolled with it.
Yeah. My mom called my dad Panzón, like big belly. my one of my, it's not now, so don't use it, trying to get into my email. My dad, my entire life, never called her honey, baby, or, you know, Idolina, her name. He called her cosa, thing.
My father-in-law calls my mother-in-law woman.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, calls her woman.
So woman, what are you doing,
addresses
woman?
Addresses her Christmas cards to her woman.
If on white the people, envelope. If a white guy called his wife thing.
Maybe they like the Fantastic Four and she's built like thing.
There's Marvel implications.
Like 713-572-467. I want to hear from all my Hispanic brothers.
Now Sean got to go home and call Amy thing.
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 Oh, or, you know what else he
or
called
or woman.
Her?
What's
up, thing?
Like, you know, just get like the Kevin Sullivan wig.
Do this one. Yeah. Do this one.
Yeah.
Again, not accurate, but just do this. Yeah, so it goes over. My other term of endearment my dad called my mom was double.
Which is?
Double.
Just double?
Doble.
Doble?
He called her doble, like double, because she's twice the size she should be.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all are ruthless.
Ruthless.
Okay.
7135. So tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm not.
Okay.
Like every Hispanic person has the...
Now we need nicknames for everybody on the 610 staff, generated by you and your family.
By Hispanics.
By Hispanics, yes.
That sounds like a homework assignment to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is there like a mega Gordo?
Best I can tell you, just call everybody a different version of fat, and that's their nickname.
If someone is slow, they call them mensal.
Yeah.
Like, idiot.
Oh, wow.
And they love them.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Talk to your Hispanic friend.
I need to become Hispanic. All right, Gordita, have
All
a good
right.
show.
Yeah, okay. I'm good.
See you, fat ass.
Wait a minute, are you talking to him or me?
All right, Pelon. See you later, Pelon. You know what that means.
I mean, it is crazy how you talk about the whole idea of, these are our terms of endearment.
Yeah.
Let me stab you in the front instead of in the back.
At least they're honest. Yeah. I mean, look at all the Hispanic people texting in right now.
Yeah, I didn't want to say any of those words because I'm not sure
what
you mean.
I can.
No, I mean, I don't know which one of them are inappropriate for the FCC.
Over the line.
Which one of them are swear words? Like, I don't know all swear words.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, you know, once upon a time dating Latina, if she was angry or yelling things and the words started with P, I should get out of the room.
Yeah.
But I don't know all the bad words that may or may not come across.
Yeah.
I mean, I did recognize one of them as a word I definitely can't say on the radio.
Yes. It's a phenomenon that has always fascinated me. And the text board is co-signing upon co-signing upon co-signing. It's crazy.
How many horrible things can I tell you and say, but I say it with love?
They don't even have to explain it. They just say they just say it. Like whatever physical feature you're most embarrassed about, that's going to be your nickname.
So basically the entire culture is based off the relationship between Peg and Al Bundy.
Yeah, exactly.
How many ways can I insult you but smile?
Yeah, they should have been Hispanic. They should have been Hispanic.
Man, it's Friday. We always have fun on Friday. We get a little rowdy on Friday. And things to get rowdy about tonight. How about you, Houston Astros, heading to Flushing Bay to take on the New York Mets? Two teams that are charging up the standings. You know, or, you know, you could say Flushing Bay. You could say the site of the 1964 World's Fair where we know they're hiding two flying saucers. But the Astros and the Mets, both teams have won 8 of their last 10. And their numbers over their last 10 games are actually pretty similar.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mets are hitting .319. Astros hitting .294. Mets team ERA is .358. Astros team ERA, .354. Astros have outscored their opponents by 21 runs. Mets have actually outscored their opponents by 38 runs. Well, partly because, you know, the Yankees have sucked lately.
Yeah.
But both of these teams have been hot lately. Astros are 15-7 in June. Mets are 15-6 in June.
Yeah.
It's like the unstoppable force of the immovable object. But this to me is a very fun series, a little bit painful series, because I'm rooting against the team I grew up rooting for.
Yeah.
And there are conflicts.
It happens.
But also the fact that you've got two teams that are really hot, two teams that are trying to get back into the race. You know, the Astros were 12-24, 12 games under on May 8th. That was their low water mark. The Mets low water mark was 26 days ago. They were 24-35.
Yeah.
And like, these are two hot teams, both trying to, you know, change the narrative on them from disappointing to playoff contender. the next 10 days probably mean a lot for both teams, but how you feeling about going into this series? You know, I asked you on Monday, you know, are you ready to buy back in? And I think you were like, okay, I'll put like $2 in.
Yeah.
Where are you now as to how far are you willing to go back in? And what do they have to do in this series against the Mets to earn your trust, to get you to put more chips to the table?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Yeah, I'm gonna press pause on the second part of that, because the first part was kind of a revelation I had, you know, yesterday, this morning, as I'm kind of piecing together where the Astros are right now. They're 40-40, man. Tonight is the midway point of the season, and so this is where I am to answer your question. Why not? Why not just, I still have my questions. We've talked about them ad nauseum. I mean, I still wonder what they can and cannot get done. You know, the pieces they still have, who's on first, literally, all that stuff. I still have my questions. But I think I've reached the point, Patrick, where I'm like, why not? And the reason is very, very simple. I know they're not going to have very many more chances. So just throw your hat in the ring now. I know, you know, I said they're done, you know, a month into the season. I still wonder if they are or not, but they're in the race now. I mean, it's undeniable. Why not go for it? And there's a number of reasons for that. The main reason is what I just said. Like, I don't know how many more chances they're going to have. And if you're going to say, well, they need to be sellers so they can start building for the future and make sure that this thing doesn't go three straight 100 loss seasons and their system is depleted and all that. I started thinking about that. I said, you know what? We're never going to have another run like this. I mean, will anyone ever have another run like this? Like seven straight, you know, and in contention again. So I'm at the point now where I'm like, just go ahead. We'll worry about tomorrow, you know?
You know, the things that you feel good about, yeah. You feel good about maybe their top three pitchers, right? Fromber, you feel good about Ronnell. You feel good about Hunter Brown right now. Arrigetti's been inconsistent, but I think you expect that from a guy who wasn't even supposed to be here until at least August. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to get kind of like what Hunter Brown had 2 years ago. You get a pitch, yeah. You know, 4 or 5 months in AAA, mm-hmm. Get yourself refined, build your confidence, and then we're going to call you up towards the end of the year. But the massive amount of injuries obviously changed that. I think you feel better about the back of the bullpen than you did a month ago.
Yeah.
I think you feel better about the lineup as a whole than you did a month ago. Yiner has started to hit. Not only has Yiner started to hit, he's hitting with guys on base. Mm-hmm. He's hitting two outs, runners in scoring position. Jake Myers is, after a slump, has kind of started to find the bat again. Dubon has been fairly consistent. Like, I know people love Dubon, and I love the fact that he's as versatile as he is, and you can literally plug him in anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not like a big-time hitter. He hits for a good average. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hit for a lot of power. He doesn't draw any walks. But he gets some hits. What I love about Dubon the most is he's the kind of guy I think you need in a lineup, because He's a high IQ baseball player. Mm-hmm. He makes productive outs. He hits behind the runner. You know, he knows how to advance runners as opposed to swinging from his heels and striking out. He doesn't whiff.
Yeah.
His strikeout rate's like 8%. He doesn't whiff. Mm-hmm. And you need to have guys like that. Not everybody in your lineup's a 30 home run hitter. But can you have a guy who hits 275, 280 and can lay down a bunt?
No.
Can hit behind the runner. Situational hitter. You can hit and run with him. He's a high contact guy. Mm-hmm. He can run the bases. Well, these are things that you need to have that kind of different look in your lineup. So I like they have him there. I love they finally have taken the shackles off of Joe Espada and are allowing him to play Joey Loperfido.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that's amazing to me is, you know, a month ago when Joe Espada was basically being told by the upstairs, and I don't mean Dana Brown, I mean by the upstairs, you're going to play Jose Abreu, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and the team, it literally took till this team was on the verge of implosion before they finally made moves they needed to make and kind of took the gloves off of Espada, and now nobody's complaining Joe Espada can't manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how that happens. And we've seen this team... Can you remember the last time you saw the Astros over a consistent period play effective small ball?
Oh. Effective small ball? You'd have to go back to 90s?
As I say, like Drake McClain owns the team at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're in the National League at this point.
Yes, yes.
It is like just crazy because it's something that I've had ever since they instituted the ghost runner. They've been terrible at getting the ghost runner home. And runner on second, two outs, that's an automatic run.
Should be.
Ground ball to second, advance to third. Ground ball to second, run score. I mean, that is the easiest run you're ever going to score. And they, so many times, they don't score him. And now we're seeing them hit and run, hit behind the runners, advance runners, sack fly, sack, you know, like they're doing the things to manufacture runs that I haven't seen them do in the now 12 seasons that I have covered the Astros.
Well, some of that is out of necessity because of the players they have, right? Because they don't have the big boppers. They don't have the big core players of yesteryear. I say yesteryear like it was 30 years ago. But, part of that is necessity. And it also speaks to why I said, oh, bleep it. You know, let's let them go for it. Like, they are in a position where if they can scratch out some wins via small ball, as you said, if they scratch out some wins with some big crooked number games, you know, either way, they're in the hunt. And the fact that it's the Astros in the rearview mirror of the Mariners and in the wild card race, I think matters as well. I think the fact that they have been here, they have done it. They've got the core group that nothing is going to make them, you know, quiver. I think all that stuff is leading to, you know what, just go for it. Do what you want to do.
I want to see the Astros break out like the old red jerseys.
From the early 2000s?
Because, like, I feel like there's almost a symmetry here with Tiger Woods and the Tiger Charge the Sunday Red. And the idea of, here's Tiger Woods, red shirt, getting ready to charge up the standings
and put the
fear
of
God in everybody.
No, it is a very real thing. And it's one of the reasons I feel like, you know, to go ahead and do it. Like, outside of Springer and Correa, like, they still have the guys that have been here throughout. And some came in a little later, but still, it's still Altuve. It's still Bregman. It's still Tucker has been around for a while now. Jordan for a little while now. Fromber, Verlander, for what it's worth. You know, if Verlander can ever get back on the... So when teams see the Astros in their rearview mirror, we know and they know that's probably not the same Astros team, but with those dudes leading the way, you still got to worry.
I think it was important that they got that they played so well against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during this, you know, golden era of Astros baseball, as TK called it, right, the golden age, one thing we've seen them do is when they had to face a high-end opponent, they would always rise to the occasion.
Yes.
This team has, and no matter, they're going to play this team, this is going to be a really tough thing. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
And then they get up and they just, like, they hulk up.
They drill them,
and they kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought after they managed to survive that first game where they got up huge and then the underbelly of the bullpen just all over their pants, they managed to hold on to that. I thought that was really important because, you know, in April, in mid-May, that's a game they lost.
Yes.
And they held on to that game, and then the next 2 days, they stomped them. And these are things, you saw them against the Rockies, or the Potheads, as we call them, that, you know, the Astros were looking so much like the Astros. You said this team finally looked like the team that you knew.
Yeah.
The other team makes mistakes, the Astros make them pay.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happened. That every time Colorado made a mistake, the Astros put a number on the board. And that is like a hallmark of this team. We're getting to a point, though, in the season, as we're getting close to the All-Star break. From the All-Star break to the trade deadline, that's kind of the gauntlet run of you're making all your deals. You're wheeling a deal and you're talking to everybody. This 10-game road trip, is this 10-game road trip essentially 10 games to rule them all?
Mm-hmm.
Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.